Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, thank you for this broadcast today. I pray for every person in the sound of my voice, everyone on this in this radio and television audience throughout the world. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Father, to make yourself known and clearly seen and clearly heard. And we receive it today, revelation from heaven. And we rejoice in it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Brother Keith.
Yes, sir.
This is just getting gooder and gooder, isn't it?
It's stronger and richer.
Yeah, yes, amen.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I like that scripture that said, the path of the righteous gets brighter. And brighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's supposed to do.
And it does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have been rejoicing over the great truth that we are His sheep, Jesus' sheep, and that He said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I lead them and they follow me, and a stranger's voice they will not follow because they don't know it. They don't recognize it.
Well, now, you know, right there, if you just take that and dwell on that a moment, we already know the stranger is the devil.
Right.
Because he went ahead and defined that in the 10th chapter of John.
Right.
Now, he said, I'm the shepherd, and he's the devil, and he's the thief, and then we don't ever get our roles mixed up. He said, you know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is saying a stranger's voice they will not follow. So immediately I know that he has provided the way for me to tell the difference between the two.
Exactly.
And we know that Satan's going to mimic him the best he can, try to fool me.
Right.
But he said, I'm going to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to know his voice and follow him.
That's right.
That means I'm going to know that stranger's voice. I'm going to be able to tell the real from the counterfeit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's big, Keith.
It's very big. Our natural state, and I don't know if that's our original natural state, maybe the best way to say it, it's the most natural thing in the world to be aware of God and hearing Him and responding to Him. All of creation, the animal world and the plant kingdom does it, you know, without any conscious thought.
Yeah.
Just responding to, it's been affected by the curse and sin, but a lot of it's still in evidence. What had to happen is interference and hardening and distortion and callousing. And we referred to the passage that's all through the Word of God, Old Testament, prophets, Proverbs, Gospels, Acts, of the idea of eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear and a heart that doesn't understand. He didn't create us with ears that couldn't hear.
That's right.
He created us with ears that hear.
That's right.
And hearts that understand. That's our original natural state. But he also talks about consciences being seared. And he talks about hearts being hard or calloused. Well, how a hand's state, natural state, is not calloused. I mean, when I was a young man, I got a job working loading freight. And I was handling heavy stuff and rough stuff. And I saw right after I started working there, some of the guys been there for years. During lunchtime, they'd take a little pen knife and sit there and just poke it in their hand. They can't even feel it. They got such calluses through there for all those years. And that's because of friction. And then the body had to build up thicker, denser, less sensitive tissue. On top of that, because of the continuous friction, or friction is opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens to the human heart. If you hear and obey, you stay sensitive. And everybody, when you're born again, you're a baby in Christ. And just like babies are tender, your heart's tender. And it should stay that way throughout our entire walk with God.
Yes, it should.
But in case after case, something came up that the Lord told you that you didn't want to hear, you didn't want to do, or you decide you just put it off, and you get this started, this friction. And if you keep ignoring it or resisting it, then you build up a dullness, and the things of God become less clear and more indistinct and more vague. That's a state that has developed because of friction and opposition. And the good news is, you know, back there, then, those decades ago, I had heavy calluses. Now, I got little tender hands.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't care how calloused you've become. You can get tender again.
Yes, you can.
All you got to do is stop the resistance, stop the friction, and you'll start getting tender again. And when you start getting tender again, God's communication begins to get clearer and clearer and stronger and more distinct. Hallelujah.
And the more you act on it, and you find yourself, it starts looking risky. I don't know. Obey.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I might make a mistake, Brother Keith. You're already making one.
Yeah.
Now, if you step towards Him.
Yes.
Even if you misread it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you missed it.
That's right.
Which every one of us have.
Yep.
And but when you step out towards Him, I don't care how risky it looks, I'm going for Him.
Yes, sir.
Then He can help you.
Right.
He can change it. He can correct you.
Mm-hmm.
But when, I don't know whether I'm going to do that or not. Now, that's a mistake, because that's friction.
And that is the serious thing to do, because that is, you're choosing not to trust. You're choosing to question. It's disrespect. And that begins the hardening process.
Yeah, it does.
And that's not God's doing. That's your doing, my doing. Hebrews 3:15 is so clear on this point. And it says it again. It talks about it in 4:7. Again, He said, Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, very specific, harden not your hearts. 4:7, He says it again. He says, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you want to hear Him, you can't harden your heart. The two are diametrically opposed. If you, the unwillingness and hard-headedness, stubbornness, immediately starts your ears to close and starts your eyes to close and starts your heart to be insensitive. It's not a problem that people can't hear. It's not an ear problem. It's not a hearing problem. It's not trying to get God to talk to you problem. What makes, when the Lord said, I mean, there's like what, 10 times or something in the book of Revelation, him that has ears to hear,
let him hear.
Him that has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, over and over. Jesus said it repeatedly. You're talking about it in Luke.
Yeah.
Well, what determines who has ears to hear and who doesn't? What makes a hearing ear a hearing ear? What's the difference between a hearing ear and one that doesn't hear? And the difference is the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart determines whether the ear hears or not. The tender heart, the willing heart,
mm-hmm.
can hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hard heart can't hear. That's what Jesus was saying in John 8. These are people that think they're really smart. They're doctors of the law. They're scribes. They spend a lot of time in the written word. And yet he looked at them, he said, you can't hear what I'm saying, can you? You can't even hear what I'm telling you. Why? Because their heart was hard.
Now, do you take the incidences that I'm thinking about in the Old Testament about certain kings?
Mm-hmm.
And the King James Version uses the phrase perfect heart.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you translate it, other translations say he had a willing heart.
Mm-hmm. And now wholehearted.
Here, yeah. Yep. Here was a king that he did everything that God told him to do, but he did it without a willing heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God didn't accept any of it. Mm-hmm. Even though the guy did what he said,
right.
he wasn't willing to do it. He did it for other reasons and other purposes.
Right.
But now here's another guy that went along doing what God told him to do, and God's prospering him. But then there were some things that he told him to do and he didn't do.
Yep.
And some of them he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But God prospered him because he said he had a willing heart
right.
towards him.
Exactly.
And some of the things he just fouled them up, but it wasn't because he had a hard heart. He just screwed the deal up.
Yes, sir.
But God could work with him.
Yes, sir.
And that's the difference between the two, isn't it?
It is. And it's why it's a mystery to a lot of people, because you don't understand the Word of God, and you don't hear from God based on intelligence. And that's what's confusing to people.
Yeah.
And people think, well, you know, these people that are highly educated naturally, and they read the Bible actually looking skeptical, and they claim that they find irregularities and parts that disagree. And the reason it is, it's a closed book to a hard heart.
That's right.
You can't even see it. You look right at it and not see it. But I don't care. You might be considered dumb by some people, but if your heart is willing to understand Him, light begins to come into you.
Yes.
And will actually increase your mentality. And All you got to do is just make an adjustment inside you and genuinely, truly be willing. Jesus said in John 7, a verse that's strong in this area, John 7, 17, the scribes, even though many of them were completely opposed to Him, they marveled at His revelation and His delivery. And they questioned Him about it. They said, how does this man speak like this? Having never learned, he didn't have any of the formal education, and yet they're hearing Him speak things that they know because of their study of the Word, the Old Testament. Where did He get this? And He said, my doctrine's not mine, but His that sent me. I didn't figure this out. It was revealed to me and given to me from the Father. And then He said this in verse 17. And this is the Young's literal translation. If anyone may will to do His will, he shall know concerning the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. Another translation, NIV, says, if anyone chooses to do His will,
mm-hmm.
he will find out.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of I'm not smart enough to get it or I'm not super spiritual enough. It's the most natural thing for a child of God to hear the voice of God. It's not hard. But the least bit of unwillingness or stubbornness actually puts you out of phase with Him. out of tune. You were talking about the radio frequency those things. Yeah. And in fact, the scripture talks about that. I saw it. He talked about how can you can't hear my voice. One translation says you're not in harmony with him. And it's like trying to pick up an FM station on the AM band.
It isn't there.
No, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You're doing everything you know to do. You put amps on the radio. You crank it up. You put bigger antennas. And you pull your car up and you put the bumper up against the station there. And you can't get it.
No.
But all you got to do is tune in. Get in the right frequency. And the Lord said this to me. You can pick up my plan on the willing band.
Yeah. That's good.
All I got to do is adjust my heart. And see, the problem is, if you tell him you're willing but you're not, he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And man looks on the outward appearance and hears what you say. But God is able to, he looks right down inside you and he knows if you're really willing or not. I know, well, this has been back probably 20 years ago. Phyllis and I were learning more about the ministry, and we were having some challenges in our finances. And the Lord dealt with me to go, I shouldn't say the Lord dealt with me. A thought came up to me about going out more on the weekend. I was working there at Brother Hagin's ministry, and sometimes speaking 20 times a week. I mean, and so I didn't want to hear that. And about going out on the weekend traveling. And I thought, when you don't want to hear something, none of us just wants to be overtly rebellious. So what do? You pretend. You didn't hear it. Or what was that? And I don't know what that was. And then the enemy, the moment you do that, If you don't want the truth, the only other thing for you is a lie.
Yeah, and he's got them.
Exactly. And if you say, I don't want that, he's like, great, I got something for you. How about this? And he'll start feeding other things to you. So that came up to me in a time of prayer. More than once came up about me going out and ministering healing and ministering in churches. And I just, I look at my schedule and I think, I don't know what that is. And I'd change the subject and I'd go do something else. And then I'm having trouble with my finances. And I'm seeking him about that. Lord, talk to me. What do I need to do different than what I'm doing? And I couldn't get it. I mean, months went by and a year went by and we're not doing any better. And I'm seeking and I couldn't get it. And I came in one day after teaching and preaching. I sat down in a chair in the living room by myself. I remember it distinctly. I just kind of plopped down in the chair and I got quiet. Now, a lot of times that's God's opportunity. I just wasn't thinking of a thing. And this came up in my spirit just so clear about me going out on the weekend and accepting invitations. And I sat there and I thought, Lord, that's you. I know that's you. Forgive me. I've been putting this off and playing with this. If you want me to go, you know what's going on. Yes, sir. I will do. You want me to go? I will go and out on the weekend. And I mean, before I finished speaking, he said, now I'm going to talk to you about your finances.
Yeah.
And I had no idea unwillingness in that area
was linked together.
Was keeping me from getting what I needed in that area.
I see it, man. I've had it happen to me.
But what had happened, my tuner was not in the willing band.
Yeah.
I was out of frequency. And so I'm trying to get it, and he hadn't stopped communicating to me. I just am not getting it anymore. I'm not picking it up. And sure enough, I just lay there and I laughed at myself and I said, thank you, Lord. And I mean, just in the next few months, we just came up.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One of the most powerful phrases in my own personal life that God dropped into my spirit. it was when I had truly surrendered myself as a soldier in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
I am under orders 24 hours a day. I'm a soldier in the Army of the Lord.
Yes.
And I began to hear myself say, sir, I am yours to command.
Yours to command.
Keith, that just, it just revolutionized my insides.
Yes.
Well, you know good and well that his voice began to be more clear.
Exactly.
And more clear.
Exactly.
And what I was doing began to work better.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it seemed like I'm working smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much being smarter, it's being yielded.
Yes.
Because those leadings were there all the time, but right. I wasn't getting it.
Right.
But when I said, you know, your plan be done on earth in my life as
yes.
it is in heaven,
yes.
I'm yours to command, sir. Whatever it is, I'm your man. I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
Things start changing.
Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Your eyes come open. Your ears come open. And you know what? There's a lot of this going on that people are now for years frustrated. God, won't you talk to me about this? Won't you talk to me about this? Why won't you talk to me about this? Show me. And what they're doing is, Lord, talk to me about this. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, if you just tell me what to do, please, God, you show me. And the thing is, he told you something 20 years ago.
He didn't know.
He told you something. And the thing about him, he never changes.
That's right.
Ever. Never changes. And if you get, and if you're unwilling, you can't even see this. You can't even see it. You're looking for something else.
Yeah.
But the moment you get willing, and it can be moving at times. I mean, there are times that when it comes clear to you, you get in the floor. You may cry. And you think, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being hard-headed and stubborn and trying your patience. And I should not make you wait on me.
That's right.
I mean, I wait on you, but you don't wait on me. But if you will do that, and I found this, when your heart's tender, all of it goes together. When your heart's tender to hear, it's because you're willing to do, and you'll also be tender-hearted. You'll be quick to cry.
Yeah.
You'll be quick to laugh. Yeah. You'll be quick to believe. You'll be quick to repent.
You're pliable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It all flows together.
And we're out of time. Brother Keith and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.